Open up in Scripture with me to Acts, you guessed it, chapter 8. We are going to pick up in verse 26 where we left off this morning. We're still talking about Philip, and we're still talking about the way in which Philip has been moved by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. This morning, as we went through and looked, Philip had gone into Samaria and had been sharing the gospel there. And now as we look tonight even further, and you see, more than anything in this passage tonight, it is the Holy Spirit that is moving him and leading him and guiding him. It is God's will that the gospel go further and further than anybody else would think reasonable. Amen. Let's pray together and let's read Scripture. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for giving us your word tonight, and I thank you for putting us together tonight, and I thank you for letting us have this sweet sanctuary to worship you in. Father, you are such a joy to us. Father God, I pray that you would continue to send us out in unimaginable ways to unthinkable places for your name and your glory, that many would come to trust you. And this I pray in your name. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you were reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord for us. All evangelism, all spread of the gospel, all revival is led by the Holy Spirit. All of it. I mean, every bit of it is the work of God Himself. Whether it was you sitting in VBS all those years ago coming to trust Christ, whether it was you on that Sunday morning, and you can't remember how long ago it was, but the Lord was doing something in your life, and the Spirit was moving you, and you came down, and you offered your life to Christ publicly. Every small bit of trusting in God, every evangelistic encounter, every spread of the gospel, all revivals everywhere are the work of God. We've said again and again, this is a letter that Luke wrote, the book of Acts. And he wrote it as a letter. And so it starts off with him saying, "Well, in my last letter, I said this about Jesus. And now in this letter, here's what I'm going to write to you about." And so it's a letter. You didn't at the time, like now, title letters. You don't send a letter to anybody with a title on it. And so Acts is simply a title that we've given it over time. So we know which one we're talking about. What letter are we talking about? We're talking about Acts. But again, as we've said regularly, the Acts of who? Who is acting here? Traditionally, the Acts of the Apostles, though perhaps more specifically, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is moving this church forward. The church that is here, the gospel that goes out here and the church that is here and the gospel that goes out from us. What we're reading happening here isn't something that happened one time and no longer happens anymore. What we're reading here is exactly the way the gospel continues to go out today. That is, people who are guided by the Holy Spirit go out into the world, and the encounter arises in which the Spirit is telling them, just like it told Philip, to go and talk to this guy. It's verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to the cherry and stand near it. And sure enough, Philip, as he is going, finds an opportunity to share the gospel with the person. All of this is led by the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose of this passage. When you read it, you're supposed to read it hearing, and the Spirit told him this, and the Spirit led him here, and then the Spirit led him away, and the Spirit is guiding this guy for the purpose of people coming to trust Christ, and that's what happens. So also, if we will allow him, the Spirit will lead us in the same way. That our chance encounters, as we run into people or meet new people, even when we weren't necessarily looking for it, if we've opened ourselves to this, if we have prayed to God, open my eyes, let me know who I'm supposed to be talking to, when that encounter comes, your eyes are open to it, and you go, oh, this is the one I was waiting on. This is what I was asking about. Even though you weren't expecting it, it might be inconvenient for you at that time, but you are there at that time in order to tell somebody about Christ. The Spirit will lead you just like this. I cannot impress on you enough. This is not one of those things that like happened, and that's the way it used to happen, and it doesn't now. This is exactly how God works these days. As you find yourself on a road, in a line, at a store, and then now it is time for you to go and share the gospel with somebody, and the Spirit will guide you just like it guided Philip at this point. So first of all revival, evangelism, and spread of the gospel is led by God. Second, all revival, evangelism, and spread of the gospel is from Scripture. One of our core verses as a church is faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And so, likewise, this encounter comes from Scripture. The faith of this official, I don't want to call him the eunuch, but he doesn't have a name other than that, so we're going to call him the official. The faith of this gentleman comes because he's there, and he's reading Scripture, and so Scripture is present there. He has, as the passage says, gone up to Jerusalem in worship. Much like the wise men, this doesn't mean for us that we assume, oh, he's Jewish now, or oh, he's already a Christian, but rather, as was the practice, you kind of go around to all the different temples of all the different regional gods and, you know, do some worshiping as you're making your way through. And so this guy, as he's traveling on the business of his ruler, this queen of Ethiopia, he's passing through there, and so he goes and worships at that temple, and he takes with him some prophecy scroll to read about it and learn about it. So he's coming down from having done that worship and having done that as a part of duty, and he's reading this, and he doesn't know at all what it means. And yet, this too is God-ordained. What better passage could he be reading? But this passage from Isaiah about the suffering servant. And what better question to have asked except him to ask, who's this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? For Philip to be able to say, someone else. He is talking about Jesus Christ, who was despised by all men and who wore our sins for us, but who was vindicated by God. And so, in this way, the gospel is spread. Now, as for you, when you go out with this revival, evangelism, and spread of the gospel being from Scripture, it might not be that you come upon somebody who is reading an Old Testament scroll, or in this case, you know, a Bible on their own wanting to say, hey, what does this mean here? And it might be that you do. And somebody's reading Scripture and you say, do you know what that passage means? And you can begin talking to them in that way. Rather, it will be important for you at all times to have a little bit of Scripture in mind. This is going to be the best thing for you to do, is just simply have it memorized, and you already do, I'm certain. Know John 3:16 in your heart. You could recite it now, and you could say, well, as it turns out, I have good news for you. God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Do you want to put your faith in him too? Do you want to believe? I think you could perhaps say other passages from Scripture, like if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I mean, we're teaching this to our children. And if you don't know these, I got good news for you. It's really simple. With only about 3 or 4 Bible verses, and in fact, I'm fairly certain there's been, since I've been here anyway, a rack in Richard's choir room of like gospel tracts that share all of these verses in them. And so you can go and look at that, and only knowing a couple of verses of Scripture, be able to share the gospel with someone just as clearly as Philip does here. But know this for certain. Scripture is not like other words. This is for us, this is the Word of God. This is God Himself speaking into our lives. And so when Scripture is read, when we hear Scripture, it's reading us as much as we're reading it. Scripture says of itself that this is like a sharp double-edged sword, cutting to the very heart of people, dividing between bone and marrow. And so it is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So recognize, when you don't know what to say, it's not necessarily your words that somebody else needs to hear. It is perhaps simply the words of Scripture themselves. Because these words are powerful to change people's lives. They were powerful to change your lives. You know when you hear them, the power that is here. So simply introduce them to someone else. Another simple way to go about doing this would be, as you read Scripture in a given day, to share it with someone. A son, a daughter, someone who is near Christ, someone who is far from Christ, a friend, a neighbor, to simply call them up before the cup of coffee is finished and simply send the text message and simply say, hey, I read this morning and I just want to tell you about it. And so have shared Scripture in a powerful way with somebody else. And again, you might not consider your quiet time finished until you have told somebody else what you read. This will be an excellent way for you to be able to spread the gospel, because all revival, evangelism, and spread of the gospel are led by God and come from Scripture so that we might believe. You'll notice also this Old Testament passage here from Isaiah, Philip begins to talk, and verse 35 says this, when Philip began with the very passage of Scripture, and he told him the good news of God. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. There is a right way to read the Bible. There are a lot of ways to read the Bible, but there's one right way to read the Bible. The right way to read the Bible is through Christ. Is understanding Christ the center of it, the beginning of it, the end of it, all of it. It's to see Christ there. And it's not that they're making up, you don't have to like make up some sort of fake connection of, well, I read this in the Old Testament, and let's see, how is that going to relate to Jesus? How can we connect that up? Rather, it does it itself. All of it is pointing towards Jesus. All of it then is pointing back towards what Jesus did on the cross. It's not a made-up connection. It's really there. All of Scripture is a testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it's not hard to do or wrong to do. Take this way of reading Scripture up into your own quiet time. As you read Scripture, any part of it, take yourself to a different place than you've been lately. Or if you've been in some place in Scripture as you're reading in your quiet time, continue there. But ask yourself this question when you go to open Scripture. As you read a passage, how is this about Christ? Or how does this point me towards Christ? How does this speak of who Jesus Christ is or what He did on the cross? And sure enough, you'll see that it is all Christ exalting from beginning to end. Scripture is to be understood through Christ. This is the right way to read it. It says so itself. The next thing you're going to see is there are no boundaries to God's kingdom. It is shocking the distance that the Holy Spirit is willing to go in order to reach people. You know what? It's not shocking at all. After you have God Himself, Jesus Christ, cross that distance between God and man to come down out of heaven and take on flesh, nothing else is shocking. Once you see that this is what God's will was, that Christ should step down from heaven, take on flesh, be born in a manger, and die on a cross for our sins, it's not in the least bit shocking. The distance that God will go to reach out to those people who He has already died for so that they can hear the gospel. There are no boundaries to God's kingdom. Being from where we are from, and given our history, it is worth talking about this. as Christians. There have been wrong ways of reading Scripture before that have made it out to seem like different races were somehow bound to be different in this life and eternity. There are supremacist ways of reading Scripture that have been pitched out by Baptists and in Baptist churches in the past. And this is our shame. This is how we have been wrong. Though we're less concerned about beating ourselves up over how we have been wrong and sinned as to how we are to go about living forward in grace now, recognizing that there are no boundaries to God's kingdom. For example, there's been a hermeneutic out there. There's been a way of reading Scripture that sees how Cain kills his brother Abel, and then he's marked in some way to be a slave to his brothers, that his mark must have been black skin. And so, black people are supposed to be slaves to everyone else. This is not the correct way to read Scripture. Rather, you are to look to this passage and see, when the gospel goes outside of Jerusalem and Israel for the very first time, where does it go first? To Ethiopia. This is God's plan and God's purpose, God's love for all people, as he calls together for himself a group from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people group. That is God's will. So, our passage here goes against any kind of racism, that there should be separation, that there should be boundaries. When God has traversed boundaries, we must do the same. We cannot uphold some kind of boundary that God has nullified by taking the gospel across it. Or rather, it would be sufficient for us to say this: if somebody is welcome into the kingdom of God, but not welcome within membership at our church is not in the kingdom of God. If someone is welcome at that table, but not welcome at the table that we sit around for our feasts, we are the ones who are separated from God's table, from God's kingdom. Finally, I simply want to say, as I did at the beginning of this passage, this is from beginning to end the work of God. He is doing this. God is sovereign. Amen. There is no question for any of us tonight whether or not God will accomplish the work that he sets out to do. He will. If he has made a promise that there will be people in his kingdom from all over the place, then there will in fact be people in his kingdom all over the place. Amen. He has promised it. He will accomplish it. God will accomplish God's work. The question that remains for us is, what part will we be in his work? How will we play a part in the things that God is doing and the way that he is reaching out to all people all over the place and all other countries? But even into each household in this community, to tell the neighbors, to tell these children that Jesus Christ has loved them, that this suffering servant is God himself who has suffered on their behalf, that though they are sinners, they should not have to die because Christ has already died and paid the price for them. This is the message and this is the work of God. Let us attend to it diligently. Let us be led by the Spirit, and let us be fountains that simply speak Scripture into a lost world. Father God, I thank you so much that you've been so good to us. I thank you that you are so gracious to us now. Father, I thank you that you've allowed us, just little old us, to get to be a part of the good work you are doing. Father, I pray that we would not be ones who shirk their responsibility, but we would joyfully go out like Philip, anywhere, everywhere, that when we end up in places we never thought we would be, like Philip, we simply rejoice to get to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. This I pray in your name. Amen.